You're listening to Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the noisy library of New Zealand music. Go to audioculture.co.nz.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
It is indeed. That's a really long outro. It is indeed time for Audio Culture. The first Audio Culture, I'm here, which I'm very excited
about. Yay, next year for Audio Culture.
And we've got one of the legends of Audio Culture in the building. We've got Gareth Shute sitting across from us. How you doing, Gareth?
Ah, kia ora, too kind.
I'm so excited for this. We've got a really impressive and stacked lineup of people to talk about for Audio Culture today.
There's a lot to cover.
Yeah, it's like Pride Month, and I was watching that Queer Aotearoa documentary, which is really good on TVNZ, and just got me thinking of some other things that they couldn't squeeze into that, because obviously it can't be completely comprehensive. And so I was just thinking about really the 80s and music and how sort of gay artists came into the pop charts. And so, I mean, you've got to think it was like a really tough time to be gay. It was still, especially for male homosexuals, because it was still illegal to be a man and be gay till 1986, whereas actually it wasn't illegal to be a lesbian. So top twins often represented it as the singing duo, like protests and stuff, because they couldn't be arrested. And they were very famous at that time, whereas people like, I guess there was an odd artist, like I've got a piece on Audio Culture about Billy Farnell, who's a piano player who played at Shanghai Lil's right up to his death a couple of years ago. So for like since the 50s, he has played piano around Auckland. Wow. And he was just so strong that people couldn't mess with his gayness. But aside from that, most pop stars, like even Pete Sinclair, who was the host of Come On in the 60s, he was in the closet till he died. Wow. And Lou Prime, one of the big 60s pop stars, there's a video on NZ on screen about his career, and he actually came out as he was dying of AIDS, because he decided in this documentary that he wanted to spread the word about AIDS. So the first half was about his career, and the second half was about how he and his partner have got AIDS and how they were dying of it and stuff.
Wow. It's incredible to do that at the end of your life, to be like, I want to leave a legacy that's...
Yeah, and he'd been like... He worked on the like Auckland Rugby Club. He was one of the directors there and stuff. He was like fully in the closet, is like pretending to be as manly as possible. But then, he came out. But the person I wanted to talk about is as far as I can tell, the first out gay star to get in the top 10 in New Zealand. So I'm talking about Stanley Manthing and his pop band World Gone Wild. So Stanley is this like super outgoing guy. Like in the late 80s and early 90s, if you went out to bars in Auckland, you'd see one of his bands. Like he was in one called Cactus, he was in one called Stan and the Love Gang. But how he first got started, he was at a like sort of rock quest type thing, and he'd learnt guitar off while he was still in Dunedin off Andrew Broth from Straightjacket Fits, and then he moved to Auckland, and his goth band was playing this sort of rock quest, and Mike Chun saw him, who was the like old Split Enz bass player who'd started a record label with Tim Finn, and he was like, oh, you guys are really good. What are those songs you covered? And Stanley was like, oh, no, they're all originals. And he's like, oh, my God, you're a great songwriter. I'm going to sign you to my label. And so they met up, and then Mike was like, oh, actually, before I do your stuff, though, I want you to write some hooks for my rap band that I've got on the label, Double J and Twice the T. So actually Stanley's first hits, he wrote one song called 7 Days and another one called Deaf to Be Green. He wrote the hooks for these Double J and Twice the T top 10 hits.
That's incredible, because I was reading the Audio Culture article about this, and it kind of describes some of the music he made as like funk. So it seemed like a lot of the music he made was steeped in like African American music traditions.
Well, I mean, originally he was full goth. Like you'll hear this World Gone Wild song, and it's like real, it's real gothy and pop of this time. So it was sort of alternative. I think the thing with goth at that time was you wore makeup and everything, so you could be fully gay and like dressed as possible, and you go, I'm goth, and nobody knows.
I'm not gay, I'm just
like
goth.
That's kind of how it covered. And so he went on to this, you know, World Gone Wild with the song we're going to play, Shy Shy Jenny. They managed to go on the top 50, and then he wrote another one called Stand Back, which has got a funny story. It was actually about this Barbara Stanwyck, the actress, and he was like, Stanwyck, and he was like, that's not going to work for Hook. So when he turned up to like record it, he's like, oh no, I've got to make it stand back. That makes way more sense.
I love that.
And so it's like last minute, but that one went top 10. But then, you know, he didn't get an invite to the Music Awards or anything, so he still felt like, oh, I've written 4 charting hits, 3 yeah. went to the top 10, and yet I'm still not sort of invited. So he sort of felt like the industry still had this sort of thing. But yeah, as you say, he got more into funk with his band Stan and the Love Gang, and they toured with the Village People and stuff. So wow, that was sort of like
incredible.
Stan and the Love Gang was funny because a lot of the guys were actually straight in that band, but Stanley would make them all like play in Speedos and stuff.
That's sick.
True allies.
There's a part of the Audio Culture article where he talks about seeing Mark Williams wearing like, you know, sequins, tights and stuff like that. So it's cool that he carried that through into his own career of like...
Yeah, well, there was another thing. I feel like Mark Williams could dress that way because of glam. Mm. There was another time where you could sneak in and express yourself, but be under the cover of this thing where all these straight guys are doing it. So, but yeah, then, so, I mean, he's got a funny story in there about like going to Hawera and going to the supermarket and convincing all these checkout girls to come to their gig that night, but the checkout girls all turned up with their like tough local Hawera guys. And as soon as they started playing and like wearing hardly anything and being really like super gay on stage in a fun way, these guys just started yelling and throwing things and stuff. And Stan was like giving them shit back, and he didn't even see, but one of them punched him in the face.
What?
And so then the next night he was like, they played in Wellington, and he got up on stage with this massive black eye, and he was like, oh, you'll never guess, we played Hawera last night. Anyway, this is one of his songs. I think Shy Shy Jenny is the catchier of the two, even though it was didn't go quite as high as Stan Back, but yeah,
cool.
Check it out.
I had a dream
Who would have thought that the Venn diagram of goth and gay
perfect
who would overlapped have so perfectly
at the makeup counter they met.
That's World Gone Wild with Shy Shy Jenny. We've just been talking with Garishut on Audio Culture about Stanley Man Thing and World Gone Wild. Now we're going to sort of segue into talking about Fatal Jelly Space. What was their relationship with Stanley?
Well, for example, we talked about how Stanley wrote Deaf to Be Green, the Double J and Twice the T song.
Mm.
The person who actually sang on that was Debbie Harwood, who was from When the Cat's Away. And she was away on tour with them when they shot the music video. So Stanley got his friend Jacinda Clowns, who was from Fatal Jelly Space, to be her part in the video.
Right.
So if you watch the video, there's a goth guy and a really indie-looking girl singing the chorus, which is really weird in this rap song about saving water or whatever.
Awesome.
But the reason Stanley knew Jacinda, she was straight, but a couple of the people in her band were gay, like lesbians, and they would hang out at this bar midnight on Albert Street, and Stanley really liked hanging out there because I mean, back in those days, if you were gay, you know, you'd go to the staircase or somewhere and it was all just cranking dance music, intense house music. So if you were kind of indie leaning, it's like, oh, where do I go? So he just leaned towards like the lesbian clubs instead and hung out at midnight. And that's where he met Frankie Hill, who is the guitarist of Fatal Jelly Space. Amazing, great guitarist. And she actually, talking of allies, BFM was a nice place. They had the Around the Bend gay show for many years. And Frankie was introduced to the other person from the band up at BFM by Dominic Nola, who used to be program manager. She introduced Frankie to Kath Dwyer, who just bought a drum kit, and they were both just sort of BFM regulars. And so Frankie was like, "All right, learn how to play drums." even though you haven't started playing yet, we'll just start jamming immediately. And so you can sort of hear that they're... I don't know, the way they play together, I feel like the drums go really well with the guitar lines in this band. It's one part of it. They had another girl, Flick, in there for a little while, and they each just chose a word, and that's how they made the band name.
It's a great name.
It's such a good band name.
So that's how they got Fatal Jelly Space, just three random words.
Awesome.
And they put them together. Jacinda joined, and then they had other members like Sarah Cole on keys, and Barbara Morgan, who used to be in Second Child with Jules, and she was in a lot of bands at that time. She was a really good bass player. So they signed Flying Nun and did this one EP, and I said off air, my friend at high school's older sister was in this band, so I used to see them. He's real excited when they played like a record store in store, so we could actually go without having to sneak in. And Frankie Hill kept playing music. She still plays music sometimes on Waiheke solo. And she used to be the person who looked after the computer room at HSB and on the university campus as well. So if you're around in the 90s and you saw a girl with real short hair who ran the computer room, that was Frankie as well. Super friendly. I think if you listen to the song Miseria, it's really cool, like guitar and drum combo, and the bass lines, they're all just like doing way more than you'd think they would, and sort of playing, you know, not slipping into real basic stuff. I mean, tom drums was quite an alternative sound of the time, but it's really busy and sort of interesting. So
I'm always intrigued by bands that sort of just seem to come out for a moment in time and release one sort of record, or in this case one EP, and then they just seem to do really well when we're gigging a lot, sort of aside from releasing that, opening for some pretty big names, Straight Jacket Fitz, Spud, Balta Space.
The Fall, there's a legendary Fall gig that they talk about. Renee Jones, who is BFM at DJ to this day, she wrote the article on Fatal Jelly Space on Audio Culture, and there's a funny story where they supported The Fall, and afterwards The Fall were like, "Oh, come back to our hotel and hang out," and they got there and The Fall all seemed really depressed, and it turned out Marky Smith had fired two of the other members of the band as soon as they'd finished playing, they were playing out, hanging out with them at the hotel, and two of them had just been fired. Which is
awkward.
So The Fall. But I mean, there was no money in it in those days, so it was just, you know, you did it for fun. And so once Jacinda moved to Australia for a while and people moved on.
Cool. I think we should listen to this track, shall we?
Yeah, so we'll we're going to play it off the vinyl. And even though it says 33 on the label, it's at 45. So that's classic flying nut as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Gareth, for joining us for another awesome episode of Audio Culture. It's so important to talk about and honour the artists that make up New Zealand Pride during Pride Month.
Cool.
Some really cool bands in there. And everyone can check out the Rainbow Collection on NZ On Screen as well.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah,
which is
yeah,
a cool collection. Cool. Thanks, Gareth. Thanks, Audio Culture.
Bye.
I feel
Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz. It's just fascination.